Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Don't back down from your victory. You are studying Lesson 5. Make a plan of agreement in prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Father, we pray over this today in the name of Jesus. We're quick to give you all the praise and the glory for every word that's said and every deed that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said in Matthew 18, the 18th and 19th and 20th verses, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, we've been talking about this word agree is the Greek word symphoneo, which we get our word symphony from, and it means to harmonize all instruments together, all available instruments. Well, you are a spirit, you are a soul, you have a body. You need to bring all of these instruments into harmony. And one of the reasons for the prayer of agreement is to help you do that. So, all of the instruments together produce a sound that no one instrument by itself can produce. You can have a violin sound. You can have an oboe sound. You can have a clarinet sound. You can have a trumpet sound. You can have a drum sound. You can have a piano sound. You can have all of these different kinds of sounds. You can have the cello sound. You can have all. You can have bells and all kinds of whistles and things in there. But all of those instruments together produce a sound when they're in harmony, in a planned, harmonious exercise, musical production together. They produce a sound that's greater than the sum of the individual parts. And that's spiritually what happens when two or three are gathered together in my name. Jesus said, "There am I in the midst." Now get a hold of this. If you and I and Gloria agreed in prayer, how many of us are there? You, Gloria, and Kenneth. 1, 2, 3, 4. No. 1, 2, 3. No, that's not right. Spiritually, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? Jesus said, "I'm in the midst of it," when you gather together in agreement. Oh, yeah. Let's get on in here some more. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, we opened up the treasure house right then, didn't we? Glory to God. Who is Jesus? He is the one with all power both in heaven and earth. Who is Jesus? He's the one with the mighty, mighty power of His name. Who is Jesus? I'll tell you who this Jesus is. He's the man that knows. He's the man with the knowledge. He's the man with the wisdom. He's the man with the answers, praise God. And He is the man with the authority, and He's our Savior, and He's our Lord, praise God. He knows where your job is. He knows where your ministry is and how it's supposed to work. Oh, if I do that, He's liable to call me to Africa. If it's Jesus' will to call you to Africa, then Africa is the only place on God's earth where you're ever going to have the fullness of His power and His joy. And that's your laughing place, praise God, if you just wake up and realize that. Amen. Now, when I told you yesterday that Gloria and I set ourselves in agreement, you remember I was talking about that to you? We were at Oral Roberts University at the time, and, And God is dealing with me about things. He's dealing with her about things. And it was time. We knew that it was time for us to go out into our ministry. And we didn't know where to go. We didn't know where to start. And so we had made certain agreements together concerning the faith of this ministry and doing it by faith and not by our own scheming. And I promised God then, I made up my own mind. Gloria and I made up our minds together before God that I wasn't going to go to some denominational convention someplace. And I'm not against these things. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God for it. I love to fellowship with other preachers. But I'm not going to go to that convention to rub up against 45 different pastors where maybe I can get a meeting and carry my little date book with me everywhere I go, and maybe I can get a meeting. You get so far out of the will of God, brother, I mean, they can't, like the guy said, you know, we'd be shooting beans at you with a 30-30. You'd be so far out there, man, where can't God, nobody else get to you. No, I love to fellowship, and I love to be with other pastors, but I'm not going to go there at just to con around. I mean, man, ain't there been enough of that? Oh, dear Lord. I'm not going to go out and just walk up and down the streets and just, you know, just beg around and just kind of hope something happens to it. No. We're going to set up a symphony. We're going to lay out some plans before God in the spiritual realm so that He can plan for us over here in this natural realm. So we take God's word. This is my plan right here. What is my plan? My plan is for Gloria and I to agree. My plan is to set ourselves in agreement. According to what? According to His word that says your needs shall be, my God shall meet your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then thank God we agree on that. And it is our voice and our agreement together that our needs are met according to His riches and glory. Now, we sat there and agreed that we would never ask any man anywhere, anytime for a place to preach. I'm not going to go storming into some church and going and say, well, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said for me to come here and for you to take up an offering for me. No, that's out of my book. No, just tore that page out and threw it away. I mean, that forever, the rest of my life, all out eternity. Say, well, what if God told you to do that? God never told anybody to do that, really. I've had God speak to me and say, I want you to preach in such and such church. One time He told me the week He wanted me to preach there. I said, sure, I'll go there, but you know my agreement with you. I'm not going to call those people. Well, He said, I never expected you to. And so when I talk about this, I'm not talking about a conversation everybody in the room could hear. No, I'm dealing with Him right in here. He's my leader and He's my guide. And He and I are walking together. I talk to Him all the time. I talk to Him just like I do you. When I start praying, I don't take on some strange type vernacular. I just talk to Him. Talk to Him just like this. Except when I'm in the prayer of petition and supplication. Now, I'm going to teach you that. Not today, but we'll get into that. It becomes a very formal prayer, and it's a very formal thing, but it's not something you just do every time you pray and begin to durst thou and doest thou notest and all that kind of thing. No. Or get over into some traditional form of prayer that's really alien to you, like all praying some strange way that you order your conversation or something. We'll talk about those later. But what I'm talking about is I talk with God and walk with God and believe God. So Gloria and I had agreed that we'd never ask anybody for a place to preach. We agreed that we'd never call anybody and ask them to help us financially, that, you know, we're in trouble here financially. No, we don't do that. Not going to get up in the pulpit and tell them how bad things are and tell them how down things are. I can't do that. Mark 11:23 says you have what you say. I'm in the seat of my destruction and be in my own mouth. I'm going to talk faith. There's been times I'm standing up there, brother, with my stomach growling because I hadn't had anything to eat, and I'm preaching prosperity. And the devil tell me, say, you stand up there and preach like that, there ain't nobody ever going to give you nothing. You're going to starve down before you. I mean, you talk, they all think you got a bunch. That isn't my problem. And I realize a lot of people do that because preachers have taught them that if the least thing goes wrong, we're going to squall and bawl about it until y'all help us do something. But that's not the way God led us to do this. We had to walk in this and prove this out in our lives and in our ministry. So the Lord said, I want you to go down there that particular week. And I said, fine, I'll do it. And I said, you know, I remind you of glory, my agreement and the fact that Jesus is is in this and honored this, that I'm not going to call those people and you know, try to set up something. And I just started praising God. Well, thank you, Lord, that on such and such a date, I'll be over there at such and such church. And I just praise God and thank you for it. Just praise you. I'll go. You open the door. I'll walk through it. Praise God. And you know, if I'll do whatever the Lord tells me to do. If He told me to be there on that day, I'd be there. I mean, I'd be right there in the church, right there in the congregation. I've done this before. Just come, just go to church there. Just sit there, not say a word to anybody. And if somebody didn't move toward me, I never go back there and say, well, the Lord told me to be here. He told me I'm supposed to preach this morning. No, I'm not going to do it. You need to be that hard-nosed where your own agreement prayers are concerned, particularly in your finances, in the calling of your life, the job that you have, where your bills concerning. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to get right down to this bill business here in just a minute. You quit living on that credit card. If you hadn't got the money to pay that thing, put it back in your pocket or take the scissors to it until you do. You hear me? Now, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Don't you touch that dial. Take your hand off that television. I'm not robbing you from the way to get things. I'm going to tell you how to move in a far greater financial area than just, you know, playing with that credit card and letting somebody steal everything you got. Now then, I prayed over that. And just two or three days later, there was a guy that I happened to know was elder in that church. He said, hey, Brother Copeland, I just got the strongest impression from the Lord that you ought to send me a couple of your tapes. I want the pastor to hear. I sent him the tapes he asked for. Went on there several days. And another member of that congregation wrote me a letter. This fella didn't know, but he wrote and told me what he wanted. He said, I think you ought to come preach a meeting in this church. And he said, a lot of us here really feel like your ministry is time for it in this church. So send me a couple of your tapes. I want the pastor to listen to them. I didn't write and say, oh, God told me that and I'm supposed to be there, you know, on March the 2nd or whatever day it was. And I just said, praise the Lord, and sent the tapes. Well, I got just a day or two here before the day the Lord had said He really wanted me in that congregation on that day. I said, you want me to just go over there and be there? No, He said, no, not this case. And this turned out to be God handled it in a special way. And I'm so glad I listened to Him and did what He said do. Anyway, somebody else wrote me a letter. This guy I never heard of and said, Pastor so-and-so wanted me to write you and tell you that we just feel like it's not time for your ministry here in this church. He wrote it like I'd been trying to get in there and preach. Dear Lord, I wasn't trying to get in there and preach. If you want to know the truth, I didn't want to preach in his cotton-picking church because I know the guy and I know what he preaches. You know, man, and particularly back then, I didn't want to get into that, man. But I'm going to obey God. And so I just wrote back, and I said, I hope there's no misunderstanding here. I don't know what you've heard or whatever, and I don't remember all I said. I said, I was not attempting to get a place to preach in your church, but somebody wrote and asked me for the tapes, and so I sent them. And I love you, and praise God for you, amen. I said, God, what am I going to do? Look at that week there, open. And you know, and I began to think, now, I didn't say this to God. I began to think, now, wait a minute here. Oh, no, dear Lord, what am I going to do? If they leave that week open, what am I going to do about it financially? I mean, how am I? Kenneth, shut up. In the name of Jesus, you shut up. You don't preach for money. You don't preach based on your finances. Oh, that's right. I don't do it. I have an agreement with God that my needs are met according to His riches and glory. And Glory and I got together and we sat down there and we reminded ourselves of that agreement. Boy, that is so important. We reminded ourselves, turned in our little notebook where we'd written it down on that day and said, it is written and we don't turn from this. And I went back to the Lord and apologized to Him. I said, you're my source. You're my financial source. I said, where do you want me to go preach that week? He said, I told you where I wanted you to preach. I said, yeah, but Lord, they've got it fixed now. They said they don't want me. He said, well, why should I send you somewhere else? I said, Lord, where do you want me that week? He said, you just stay ready. I said, Lord, you don't understand. Tell him, God, he don't understand. Ain't that brilliant? I said, but Lord, it don't seem like you understand. Here, I'm going to have that week open. Finally, the Lord got through to me. He said, would it bother you too much to take the week off at my expense? He said, I told you what I wanted you to do. I'll take care of you. I'll see to your finances because I'm the one that told you to hold that week open. Oh, hallelujah! And on the inside, I thought, hope they don't call me. Dear Lord, I'm going to have me a week here. Well, I just stayed home and praised the Lord and studied and just had a great and grand time. Had one of the best weeks financially ever had in my life. I mean, God took care of me because I was willing and I was obedient and I was ready and I'd done my part. Now then, Gloria and I set ourselves to be out of debt. Debt's a curse. Debt is listed under the curse. God put debt into the hands of Israel to control unruly, ungodly nations under His direct command. But you put that same weapon in the hands of the ungodly and in the hands of those that have no heart, and it becomes a weapon of destruction. And some of you have gotten into that with credit cards that are charging you more interest than the laws of usury. I mean, how in the world do you reckon we ever got into a place where it has become legal to use usury on people? I mean, man, it's too pitiful. You got to pay 20, 25, 30% interest on some of those things. Oh, some of them don't call them interest. But how else are you going to figure it out? You got to pay that kind of money over and above what you charged or what you borrowed. So here, Gloria and I, man, we're at Old Roberts University. Gloria said she married me in all my notes. And I mean, here we are. I'm 30 years old. We got these two little children. And we're in school up there. My job, flying part of the aircraft crew there at Oral Roberts University, just took care of my tuition is really all it paid. And we were getting this little old dab from the government on my GI Bill, which was less than $200. I mean, dear me. Well, I think it's $125 or $130 or something like that. Anyway, man, and we had all these bills. We had all these debts, man. I'm talking about over $20,000 worth of back bills. Whew, dear Lord. Some of them had done written me off as a joke. But I prayed to God I was going to pay them off. So we had agreed that all of our debts were paid. And we stood on the Word of God, where it said, stay out of debt. And we took the Word in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, where it said, you shall be the head and not the tail, for you shall not borrow. And so we stood on that. And people will argue with you about the borrowing, but don't argue with me if I don't borrow. Amen? I'm not going to do it. Praise God, God is my source. So we'd gotten into agreement on this, that we were out of debt. And it didn't look any possible way like we could get out of debt. Now, how are we going to go off out in the ministry out here with all this debt, an old wore-out car, no money? How in the world are you going to do it? We're going to do it by agreement prayer. And we sat down and we wrote out our group. We agreed together and asked the Father that our needs are met. And we began to realize from Brother Hagin's teaching that money was not going to just rain down out of heaven because it'd be counterfeit if it did. But now God will meet our needs by moving in grand and great ways, in different ways. Sometimes people to give you something. Other times people to do things. Other times a job for some reason or other will open up. And there's just all kinds of different ways, you see. So we had agreed the ways are His, not mine. I mean, that's His business. And I'm not walking around saying, oh, yes, amen, and turn my shoe up where they can see the hole in it and say, oh, yes, I'm a man of faith, you know. Oh, God, don't you know how bad I need some shoes? And we're make sure that rich deacon over there sees the hole in my shoe. That ain't faith. That ain't nothing but a real low-class con. That's all it is, man. It's real low-class con. Ain't even got no class to it. If you're going to be a con artist, at least you ought to have some class about you, dear God, man. Oh, terrible. Religious cons are the worst kind. So, God, I was sitting in my desk one afternoon,
And I was praying. I said, oh, glory to God, my debts are paid. Now, listen to what God did. He had me go get my checkbook, and I wrote a check to every bill I owed. I wrote it and stubbed it and did all that good stuff and put them all in my desk. Now, don't you go mail those checks. That's fraud. That's not faith. I'm going to write a faith check, you lying hound. That ain't nothing but fraud. You told that bank, you swore when you signed that bank card, you wouldn't write checks without having the money to cover them. I mean, that's just lying, man. That's not a faith check. It's a rubber check. That's no good. But I laid hands on them, and I said, Father, I praise you and thank you that all these bills are paid. And every day I'd come in there and I'd pull out that desk drawer and I'd say, glory to God, these bills are paid. And every time a few dollars had come into the thing, I'd take that money and I'd take that check out of there and I'd say, glory to God, these bills are paid. And first thing you know, boy, I mean, they started coming out of there in good manner. 11 months from that day, we'd paid off over $20,000 worth of debts, and we were debt-free, and we still are, and have been debt-free every day and every hour since, and that is 1967. Glory be to Jesus! Hallelujah! What was the source? God. How? The prayer of agreement. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now listen to this. Satan, you spirit of lack, you spirit of debt, you spirit of poverty, I break your power over God's property in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of God's people. Take your hands off of their money. Take your hands off of the guidance of the Spirit of God to them. Don't you plug up their ears. Don't you stop their wisdom. Don't you stop their knowledge. Don't you stop them from getting in touch with the job that they need. You take your hands off of God's money and God's property and God's people. Now you tell him that. You tell him, don't depend on what I told him. You tell him that. And say, ministering angels of God, go, go, go get the finances and bring it to me. Now the next word is, in God I'll tithe every dime, every dollar of it, the rest of my born life in the name of Jesus. I'll never keep one penny of your money. I'll sow it as a seed. And then you praise God and you thank Him that you're debt-free every moment. Thank you for my new job. Oh, I'll be a witness in that place. I just thank you that I'm debt-free and I'm prosperous. He makes His grace abound toward me in the name of Jesus.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next series.